Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hello and welcome to this Fireside Folklore episode of Stories of Scotland. I'm Annie and I'm a very happily swelling wave.
And I'm Jenny, a piece of kelp. And in this episode, we are exploring some folklore from Orkney about a monster often considered to be one of the scariest in all of Scottish mythology. It is the nefarious, the nasty, the noxious Knocklavy.
We know about the Knocklavy thanks to the Victorian farmer and folklorist from Orkney, Walter Traill Denison. He essentially wandered round asking all his fellow working-class Arcadians if they could tell him an old story, and then he wrote them all down. So we owe him a lot for this one. However, it must have been a truly cursed day when he discovered the old lore of the Knocklavy, whose name translates to the Devil of the Sea. Now, I'll give listeners a wee warning here that this monster is more like gory horror than our usual folklore episodes, so be prepared for the scariest monster in Scottish lore. This is a gruesome one.
And on that frightful note, let us begin in the sea, the home of the Knocklavy. Because dipping below the waves will help us understand how this blood-curdling beast came to be. The Knocklavy was born from the type of storms that sink a thousand ships. Smashing waves and roaring winds forged his mind in pure evil. This sea demon is quite different to other miscreant monsters in Scottish folklore, because it's not just mischievous, but instead completely malicious. For the Knocklavy never tricks humans for the sake of fun. Before we start the main story, I'm going to give you a description directly from our farmer folklore's friend, because there are no words that we could write that could do a better job. The Knocklavy was a spirit in flesh, though he bides in the sea. Whenever he moved on land, it was atop a great horse as terrible as himself. Many believe that the horse and rider are not individuals, but one creature that is combined to make a hybrid monster. The Knocklavy's head was like a man's, only 10 times larger. His mouth projected like that of a pig and was enormously wide. There was not a hair on the monster's body, for the very good reason that he had no skin. The whole surface of the monster appeared like a raw and living flesh, from which the skin has been stripped. You could see the black blood flowing through his yellow veins. And when the horrid creature moved, His muscles showed the whites of the sinew in motion. He would have been an excellent study for an anatomist. Or a chemical skin peel company.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Jenny, he's the worst.
While that is pretty bad, Annie, this nightmare creature also has poisonous breath that kills every living thing on dry land that it reaches. The breath of the Nokklavi is so foul that it destroys crops and plants as though they had been struck by a blight. Any animals that get within the venomous breath cloud come down with an instant sickness that almost always leads to fatality. It is said that one of the Nokklavi's favourite pastimes is to wait in hiding until people or livestock are near the edge of a notoriously steep cliff before galloping up and breathing his deadly gas in them, whereupon they stumble back in horror and disgust and fall to their watery deaths.
Weaponized toxic breath may be the worst thing we've ever covered on this podcast.
Get that skinless horseman creature a tic-tac. But yes, he is truly the work of pure evil. If plagues or epidemics landed on the shores of Orkney, then it was thought to be the work of the Nokklavi, weaving his bitterness into the health of the island from his watery domain. And if the Nokklavi set you in his sights, then it meant nothing but the end, for his brutal ways left a trail of death and destruction in his wake. However, there was one man who was known to have survived a horrific encounter with the Nokklavi. His name was Tammas, but his friends called him Tammy. An old Tammy needed a lot of pressing and persuasion to speak of his experience, lest somehow the Nokklavi discover he was boasting of his narrow escape and return to land to finish off the job. In fact, he would not even utter the Nokklavi's name without declaring under his breath, "God save us all," for fear that the very name of the beast would summon it. But on the rare occasion he did swallow his fear and speak of his encounter, this is the tale he told. It starts very late one night when Tammy was walking home. The moon was shadowed away from the earth, so her bright face was not visible. However, she left thousands of glimmering stars to light Tammy's way. He was walking along a road that had the tireless sea on one side and a peaceful freshwater loch on the other. He was hemmed in by water, but he had walked this road many times before and no harm had ever befallen him. However, on this night, in the far distance, he caught sight of a strange object approaching him. He couldn't quite make it out, but something deep inside him screamed that this was not of this world. It was supernatural, and it meant him harm. With water on either side, he couldn't just leave the road, for it is a fool who hides from some kind of demon in a loch, and a bigger fool yet who tries to hide in the sea. As he panicked, old advice from his grandmother bubbled up from the fear in his belly.
"If something very bad is headed towards you, Tammy son, you should never turn away from it. Evil is just as likely to grab you from behind, so you might as well face it and see what's coming."
And so, shaking, Tammy stood his ground. However, as the strange creature galloped closer at an alarming speed, he wondered if his grandmother would have made an exception to that rule for something so foul. For in the shadows of the moonless night, the horrifying beast was taking shape. Tammy muttered to himself, "The Lord be about me and take care o' me, as I am out on no evil intent this night." He stood as still as he could, but there was no doubt that the creature had spotted him. Soon, it was so close that Tammy knew there was no denying it, and his stomach turned to ice as he realised it was the dreaded Nokklavi. This beast was unlike anything he had ever witnessed before, worse even than his most terrifying nightmares. This creature was fear incarnate. It galloped as a massive horse, but its legs were a strange shape with flappers like fins around them, as though it would easily gallop in water as it does on land. It had only one eye, placed at the centre of its broad head, and it blazed with a fiery rage. Its mouth was wide like a whale's, and from its lips spewed torrents of boiling steam. But the true horror was what grew from atop the whale horse. It was a giant man. He did not ride the horse, for his body was fused to the back of the galloping fiend. His arms were long, reaching almost to the ground, and his head was about 3 feet in diameter. Creepily, the head would roll from one shoulder to the other, as though it was not fully attached. Tammy wondered if the creature had any human part at all. However, by far the most ghastly part of the Nokklavi was that the monster was completely skinless, as though its naked body had been flayed by 1,000 whips until it was reeking red raw. Its flesh looked damp, and blood as black as tar pulsed through its veins. White sinews of muscle laced over it, twisting, stretching, and contracting as the monster moved. It was like a tapestry of evil, the most cursed shape Tammy had ever laid eyes upon. Snapping from his frozen fear, Tammy walked forwards and approached the Nokklavi. The hairs on his arms stood on end, and he felt a frozen tingle down his spine. His feet begged him to turn around, but he did not slow. Surely, this was no creature of the sea, but one directly from the fiery depths of hell. As it slowed to a canter but 30 yards from him, it yawned like a bottomless abyss, darkness swirling out in odorous clouds. Tammy felt an icy sweat coming from every pore as tears soaked his cheeks. However, if this was how he would die, then he would rather face his foe than turn and run like a coward. His nails dug into the palms of each hand as he forced himself to look into its evil, burning eye. And as he did so, a small piece of wisdom from long ago surfaced in his mind and blossomed like a flower. The Nokklavi was a monster from the sea and salt, and thus it could not stand fresh water, for it hurt its raw flesh. And so, Tammy edged closer to the side of the road closest to the freshwater loch. If he was to be nauseated by the hideous form of the Nokklavi, then it should at the very least be freaked out by the fresh water before it killed him. The horrendous monster was now almost in its long, grasping reach, and Tammy felt the hot breath on his face like fire, and it smelt of death and pain and almost consumed him in a feeling that he was lost forever. But as he stumbled through the cloud of noxious gas, he swerved, and almost by accident, one of his feet kicked into the freshwater loch. It splashed up, and freshwater droplets pelted the foreleg of the Nokklavi. The beast let out a bellow like thunder before rearing and retreating to the side of the road nearest the sea. The great arms of the Nokklavi swung up from the ground and reached forwards to seize Tammy and pull him into its clutches. However, they were just too short, and so the creature furiously hoofed the ground, building up the will to attack again. Tammy realised that this was his only opportunity, and so he turned and bolted. The Nokklavi let out a deep roar, as though excited by the chase, and its hooves thudded on the earth as it pursued poor Tammy. However, as Tammy flew along the road, he saw ahead of him in the dark a small rivulet where the loch emptied out into the sea. He knew then that if he could just get over this running fresh water, then he would be safe, because the Nokklavi was forbidden from crossing fresh water. but the rivulet was too far away, and the Nokhlavi had almost caught up with him. There was no way he was going to make it across in time. Yet closer and closer he got, step by desperate step. But behind him, the Nokhlavi reached out its long, fleshless arms and stretched its slimy fingers to grab him. In a last-ditch panic, Tammy leapt towards the rivulet, hoping beyond hopes that the momentum would carry him forward. As his feet left the ground, he was horrified to feel the slimy, wet fingers of the Nokhlavi wrapping around his forehead, its dark pulse beating against his temple. Suspended in midair, there was nothing Tammy could do but hope. He looked below him and saw the rivulet pass, but at that moment the Nokhlavi clamped down and tightened its grip. Tammy's body hit the ground hard, but he was on the other side of the river, beyond the power of the Nokhlavi. He had made it. He clutched his head and grasped his hair to make sure it was still attached to his shoulders, and shaking, looked back. And what he saw made him almost laugh, for the Nokhlavi was tearing his hat to shreds on the other side. It had tried to rip off his head, but had ended up with just his bonnet instead. The Nokhlavi raised its two heads to the moonless sky and let out an unearthly shriek of rage that was carried out to sea and was heard as far away as mainland Scotland. And from that day forward, Tammy never left his house without a wee hat on his head, just in case he crossed paths with the Nokhlavi again.
Well, thanks for terrifying me, Jenny. That's my quota of nightmares for the year.
This story has quite a lot of similarities with other ones. Firstly, the toxic breath of the Nokhlavi is quite similar to the Stourworm, which also lives in the waters off the coast of Orkney and can terrorise them with its terrible bad breath. But it's also quite similar to Robert Burns's spooky poem, Tam O'Shanter. But I don't know, maybe it's just because I know Tam O'Shanter so well, but I feel like I like this version more. It's far scarier and excessively vivid in its description of the flayed Nokhlavi, although I will take some credit for that.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Well, Jenny, I've decided to look into ways that we can avoid the Nokhlavi at all costs.
I don't know, Annie. I've told you it is well past time that we got some merch, and I think some anti-Nokhlavi hats would be a top seller for sure.
Jenny, I am a slow runner, so no bonnet is going to save me. But my research will. Now, my first piece of advice to other cowards such as me is to leave the kelp unbothered. We did an episode a wee while ago about the kelp industry in Scotland and about how kelp was often burnt by coastal communities to make soda ash for industry. However, the Nokhlavi views kelp as his dominion and his territory because kelp comes from the sea. So if the Nokhlavi smelt the strong smoke that comes from humans burning kelp, then he becomes enraged And he returns to the land to punish humans by taking something that is valuable to them. In revenge, he'll unleash his wrath on all livestock, striking down cows, sheep and horses with a terrible plague. The Nokhlavi was also known to summon storms across the sea so that crops would be washed out or wouldn't ripen. So, top tip is that we just leave the kelp alone. No kelp burning, no matter how much you want to.
How about a bonnet made of kelp?
No, Jenny, because then we're still upsetting the kelp. We leave the kelp alone.
Fair, that's fair. I feel like it's antagonising the Nokhlavi rather than deterring it.
Next, we need to appease the Mother of the Sea. Now, the Sea Mother is the spirit of the ocean, and she gives life to absolutely everything that lives within her salty water. She is mighty and powerful, and she loves all her creatures, from the dogfish to the orca. It would make sense if she could live in the sea all year round, and that would be lovely, because then she could take care of her beloved underwater realm. But such things are not possible. Because the Sea Mother has a rival who is the embodiment of rage, and his name is Taran. Now I imagine these both as giants, because this is so common in the mythology of northern Scotland. There's a sea-dwelling hag named the Carling that's very popular in northern mythology, and I think the Sea Mother is closely related to her. So the Sea Mother and Taran are arch enemies, and they symbolise opposing values. She is creation and he is destruction. She is peace and he is fury. And so they will be at war forevermore. From the middle of spring, Sea Mother takes her residence in the ocean. However, to do this, she has to seize it from Taran, who is the lord of the winter seas. So, every year the two have a great battle, and this commotion brings storms and high winds. People think when this happens that the spring will never lapse again into gentler weather, for there's such tumultuous tides. This battle is usually around the spring equinox, when a lot of big storms and gales do suddenly hit the north coast.
I feel like the Sea Mother is getting her waves kicked this year, because this winter is just not ending. It will not end. We are halfway through April and it's just not stopped raining for the last 7 months.
Fear not, Jenny. Because no matter what, after all this violence, Taran is always conquered. Because he cannot stand in the way of the coming summer. The Sea Mother binds him up, using great ropes of seaweed so that he can't move at all. And then she takes him to the deepest part of the North Sea and she just leaves him there.
I vibe with that, yeah. Just kick him out.
Taran is tired after his winter and his war, and now he's been taken prisoner. And so, if we're lucky, he's just going to sleep for a little while and let us have a nice summer. But best of all, the Sea Mother then tracks down the Nokhlavi and wraps him up in a great cage made of seaweed and shipwrecks, and she keeps him as her prisoner too. And so we can all rejoice, because the Nokhlavi cannot harm us during the sunny months of summer. Once the Sea Mother has all her big battles out the way, she can enjoy her life, and she sets up the ocean to thrive. Sea Mother sings a beautiful lullaby that calms away any remnants of winter storms. All bad weather dissipates into clear summer skies. She warms up the sea, just gently, and her melody changes to one of love, encouraging the sea creatures to procreate. She is a... You have to do that, but make it sound underwater. Oh, Jenny, you seducer. Sea Mother is a great matchmaker for all the sea creatures, though sometimes her love potions are knocked slightly out of their cauldron by summer storms, and that displeases her greatly. Nevertheless, she brings calm to the waves so that fisherfolk can easily bring their boats safely to harbour, and set their creels and catch the bounty of the ocean. And we can all eat fish and chips.
Thanks, Sea Mother.
However, as the autumn equinox dawns, the Sea Mother becomes overwhelmed with exhaustion. It's a lot of work pacifying the summer storms and keeping her spiteful prisoners within their undersea chains. The Noklavi has been trying all summer to break free from his prison, as has Taran. And at an evil hour, they finally break their bonds, and they are free to torment the people of the coasts once more. Without fail, the Sea Mother tries to hold them back, to re-cage them, and yet another epic battle is underway. If people aren't careful, this is the weather that sinks ships and destroys good harvests, for it is a furious storm that ravishes the land and the ocean. Unfortunately for the Sea Mother, this is a battle that she cannot win. She is defeated because she can't keep the peaceful days of summer forever, no matter how much we would want her to. And so, the Sea Mother retreats to the land. And the sea is rewritten in the language of violence, for it is now Taran and his anger that will rule the winter. And the Noklavi gallops on land to wreak havoc, just as Taran wrecks ships in the sea. And the Sea Mother wanders the land as a spirit, longing to return to her oceans. But do not fear Taran and the Noklavi, these miserable forces, because I promise you the spring will surely come again, and the Sea Mother will regain her strength and her power, and she will imprison them once more. So, in short, Jenny, we are only bringing out this episode in April because it's when I'm most confident that the Noklavi is trapped under the waves and unable to seek his revenge on us.
I don't know. I actually think we should probably hold this back a few weeks because Taran and the Noklavi are putting up one heck of a fight this year, and we might be targets yet, especially after the kelp hat joke.
In that case, I'm going to keep my bonnet on and I'll carry a bottle of the freshest mountain water you can find, just in case I hear the hooves of the Noklavi following me home one day.
All right. Thank you so much for listening to this Fireside Folklore episode of Stories of Scotland. We are an independent podcast proudly made in the Scottish Highlands, and we're kindly supported by listeners just like you who subscribe to our Patreon. Their generosity means that we can make this podcast free for everyone who listens. So thank you so much to those wonderful folk. You can join them by signing up at patreon.com/storiesofscotland.
If you happen to be in Inverness on May the 4th, then there are still tickets available to my play, The Wound, the Rag and the In-Between. So do come and join us if you happen to be around. Jenny, have you got your tickets yet?
No. I just figure I know you, so I'll be allowed in. Do you know what I mean? Like, I'll just pull up a chair when I get there.
Thanks so much for listening, everyone. Until next time, Slangeva.
Slangeva.
You would have been an excellent study for an anatomist. Anatomist? For an anatomist. He would have been an excellent study for an for an anatomist. However, if this was how he would die, then he would rather face his toe than...
It would make sense if she could live in the sea all year round, and that would be lovely, because then she could take care of her beloved underwater realm. But such things are not possible, because even in mythology, we don't get free childcare. that's not funny.
made me laugh.
And so we can all rejoice, because the Noklavi cannot harm us during the sunny months of summer. I can tell you my Noklavi will still be strong after the months of summer are gone.
Untie me when September ends.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.